sweating already. You know anything more upbeat than that?
Yes.
I bet she does.
We love talent. Those who want to share it with us. If you got something like that you want to share, let us know. Because I know you got some talent sitting out there. The book of Galatians, the 5th chapter, if I can get this working, is where we pick up today. The Apostle Paul writing to the... There we go. Church begins in chapter 5, verse 1. It says this. It is for freedom that Christ has set us free. Stand firm, then. Do not let yourselves be burdened by the yoke of slavery. Lord God, let us see your words as not only examples but commands. How we can follow you. Make life so much better for us and those around us. We come here today, some in grief, some in anticipation, others in pain. We've got children and grandchildren and friends and daughters and neighbors all around that need your help. Pray a blessing upon those whose names we mention and those that you know of that we don't. Give them solace, compassion, and all things make your will come out. Father, bless our nation because we're in a time of trial and tribulation. Let those who know you take a lead and be strong and fear not what Satan can do to us, for we know what Christ has already done for us. Be with our military, our missionary, our first responders, those who keep peace and tranquility among us, our teachers and leaders. Be with the speaker and give him the right words this day. I pray in Christ's name. Amen. This would have been a good way to start July the 4th, but I couldn't stall that long to the end. So we'll just start with it right now. It is for freedom that Christ has set us free. The whole purpose of freedom is to be free. Now, we will have flags in the next about 5 or 6 weeks. Matter of fact, on that July the 4th day, we'll have a special gathering here at the church. We're going to have a picnic, and we're going to have games, and we're going to have singings, and a bunch of fun stuff like that. So put that down at about 11 o'clock hour, noon hour. I have no idea what time we're going to do it. I just show up when Becky brings me here. But it'll be fun. We've been doing it for several years. It's a hoot. Get to meet people. You know, we sit here and we may shake one or two hands and you may even give them your name or they give you theirs. But you sit down for a meal, share hot dogs and hamburgers and pie. And we get to learn a lot more, don't we? So, freedom is the reason Christ set us free. He wants us to be able to make decisions, but the right decisions. He wants us to be prepared in what we're to do because he gave us all the latitude in the world. And too often, we are the ones that limit ourselves. How sad it is when we're afraid to do something that we know is the right thing to do just because, well, I haven't seen anybody else do it, or nobody invited me to do it. Do you remember, probably junior high, wasn't that about the tough time in the life, junior high? I said, do you remember junior high? Some of you said, probably have no idea what that was. You're new in a school, and you go into the cafeteria room, the great time of fear, because you didn't know where to sit and who to sit with, and you hadn't made friends yet. And ladies, I know it was harder on you all than it was the guys, because the guys just bumped somebody over and took their place, and it wasn't a big deal. You want to be accepted. You want to be around people that like you so you can like them. That type of a thing. That's what our life's about. Sometimes we don't do things because we don't think we'll be accepted. And how sad is what we miss out on. Don't be afraid to say Merry Christmas. Although Christmas has nothing to do, really, with religion. It's an event. It's better than Happy Holidays. But it's not the thing to do. And for goodness sake, when somebody sneezes, you can say, God bless you.
Amen.
It's okay. They said this year, in the Ivy League schools, some new things are happening. They have actually had some Christian speakers come to college graduations, which had not been welcome in the past. It's because people are starting to take a firm stand and praying to God that we could open the doors so the good news of Christ can go places. And humanity can be uplifted. Stand firm and do not let yourselves be burdened by the yoke of slavery. Now, for most of us, we think of slavery, we think of the movie Roots and Kunta Kinte. The actual Hebrew word there is even better than the word slavery. I mean, we thought how bad slavery is, and we know it's an abomination and those things. The word is bondage. That's the real word there, bondage. Something that ties you down. Something that controls your life. And it doesn't have to be a set of chains on your wrist and on your ankles and a taskmaster's whip. It can be drug addiction that you're tied to. It can be alcoholism or some type of a habit that just controls you. It can be a group of friends, particularly for our younger people, but not always, that you will not do anything because they don't approve it or they didn't do it first. It'll be the thought police or the speech police where you got to be politically correct or you're shunned. Those are things of bondage because they do not allow you the freedom that Jesus died for on the cross. He forgave our sins and gave us an example of how we are to live. And we should not let anything tie us down. Are any of you habit people? I'm not talking about, you know, Sally Fields and the Flying Nun. I'm talking about habit people. I got my worst habit of all. My worst habit of all is I have to get up in the morning and put on my left sock and then my right sock. And my left shoe and then my right shoe. And tie my left shoe or my right shoe. And if I forget to do it backwards, I take them all off and start over. I don't know. I guess I thought if there was a fire in the house, at least I'd have two socks on when I ran out the door to find the fireman. I don't know. But it's just automatic. Y'all ever do anything automatic and you're just afraid not to do something like that? We spoke a couple weeks ago about it in elementary school. Step on a crack, you break your mother's back, you know. Any of y'all ever throw salt over your shoulder if you spill some salt? We get in some pretty silly things, don't we? Now, the don't walk on the ladder, I think that's pretty good. Particularly for somebody up on the ladder working. That one, I'll buy that one. Other than that, we bind ourselves with habits that aren't always that smart. But it seems to control us. God says, I've freed you from that. Don't be tied down with bondage, whatever it is that holds you back from being the very best that you can as a person, as a servant, as a child of God. Don't say to yourself, I'm in trouble and I know it, and if I have to resign this week, I'll do it. Don't say to yourself, I'm a woman, I can't really do much in the church. For real. The work is done by the women. If you've been involved in church work, you know that. Right, Joseph? I'd expect a little better than that.
Yes, sir.
Thank you, sir. We limit ourselves. Well, I'm too young to do anything. I'll sit back and watch the... I'm too old to do anything. I'll sit back and watch the young people do it. I'm left-handed. Left-handed people can't do nothing. I'm outnumbered by my employees. Both of my employees are left-handed. I haven't got a chance at work. They're driving everything in backwards. You know? We so often limit ourselves when we shouldn't. Hey, if you're right-handed, try driving a nail with your left hand. It just hits that nail, the nail that it hits. You know, it's a problem. So we do not need to limit ourselves. We do not be tied up in this bondage because nothing good can happen. Never doubt yourself. Too often we have limited ourselves more than the world wants to limit us. Now, I've told you all this a dozen times. I'll tell you it a dozen and one. One of my favorite sayings comes from a character with initials J.C. Not Jesus Christ. I mean, I'm good on what he says, too. Thank you, Jimmy the Cricket. Be sure you're right and then go ahead. You don't need public approval for doing the right thing.
That's right.
And you know what? More power to us.
Amen.
The only thing was that Mr. Roosevelt, I think some of y'all, a couple of y'all were old enough, most of you don't. The only thing we have to fear is fear ourselves. So often we fear ourselves out of doing anything. Well, folks, I like the term a little bit better. With God on my side, I am a majority. And that's what we need to understand. So don't let yourself be limited. Who would think a church as size of this one could have given in 2 months' time $2,600 in pennies and nickels and dimes and quarters to stop babies from being taken? But we didn't let it stop us. God will bless us for that. I promise you that. He goes on, mark my words. That's my grandmother. Mark my words. You know, I had a Jewish grandmother. Paul, tell you that if you let yourself be circumcised, Christ will be of no value. Now, don't go jump ahead. Don't jump ahead. Again, I declare to every man who lets himself be circumcised, he is obligated to obey the whole law. There's the answer. That who are trying to be justified by the law have been alienated from Christ and fallen from grace. See, the Jewish tradition is a male child at eight days was circumcised, physically circumcised. Paul's not talking about that at all, in any way at all. What was happening was the Judaizers were coming in after Gentiles had become Christians and telling them that they had to obey all of the Jewish laws beginning with circumcision, because that's what saved them. And Paul says, no. You're not to be a Jew first. You are a Christian.
Amen.
You do not need to be tied to the Jewish laws. Yes, there are some great things in the Old Testament. The Ten Commandments would be a good place to start. But do you know that 9 of the Ten Commandments are repeated in the New Testament? The one that's not, observe the Sabbath, keep it holy. Instead, we get the Lord's Day, the first day of the week. So basically, the tenets of all Ten Commandments are given to us in the New Testament. So we don't have to throw that out. Jesus asked, which is the greatest commandment? What did he say? Two great commandments. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and your brother as yourself. Truthfully, if we could stick to those two, everything else would be taken away. We love our brother ourselves. We're not going to steal his cattle. We're not going to lie against him and bear false witness. We're not going to steal his wife. We're not going to murder him. How simple those two rules are that we can keep them. Memorize those two. The other eight will work out just fine. So you don't need to be justified by the law. You need to be justified by the grace of God. His gift to us. That credit card that he prepaid for us by his blood on Calvary. Justified and verified by his Father at the day of resurrection, when the death had no control over him. That is sufficient. My grace is sufficient for you, he tells us. For through the Spirit we eagerly await by faith the righteousness for which we hope. Do you ever hope for something? You're 6 years old. You want this. What was that? Red Ryder BB gun. Remember that Red Ryder Range Rover automatic scuttle duck to what and this and that and the other BB gun. He just wanted that. You're 15 years old and 11 months and 29 days and what do you want? I pray I pass my permit test tomorrow. You go down and take that license, that driving test. I hope I don't get Sergeant Johnson. Sergeant Johnson hated teenage boys. The rumor was his son was killed by a teenage driver, so he flunked every teenage boy that took the test. Sergeant Johnson never had any children, didn't care if you were a teenage boy, he just made you obey the rules. But we needed an excuse when we failed. Yeah, I had Sergeant Johnson, that's why I failed. Had nothing to do with that. I ran a stoplight when I took my first test. Nothing to do with that at all. It was all Sergeant Johnson, not me. You were running. No. Back up. The only thing that counts is faith expressed through love. See, if we love God, and our faith will go many places. We'll love the poor. the hungry, the unborn, the seniors, those fighting in foreign wars that are lonesome, those fighting wars from within themselves. We have the love of God. We will love them as well. We don't have to have some long explanation. We don't have to read some of the philosophers. I hate school. That makes you do things that are stupid. I read so many philosophers, I could philosophize. And I can't spell either word. What we need to do is talk about God's love and express that to others. That's all that's important. It doesn't matter what your background is. It does not matter biblically what your background is. Your background is done. It can be undone, but it can be forgotten and forgiven. And I know far too many people that have not given their life to Christ because they don't think they're worthy of being forgiven. Well, folks, that's the whole issue of Christ. You cannot be worthy of being forgiven. You just have to say, thank you. It is that simple. What are the Alcoholics Anonymous are like 12 steps you have to go through one at a time. Well, Christianity, you go through one step. I believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. I confess my sins before man. I accept the grace of forgiveness, gift of the Holy Spirit through baptism. It is that simple. Joe, we spent 8 years in college just learning that. I just told it to you in 45 seconds. You are running a good race. Okay. I have never told anybody in here, I'm sure. I'm from the state of Kentucky. 2 weeks ago, in Louisville, they had one of them run around the circle with the horses. The horse that was supposed to win, for some reason, unbeknownst to me and probably to anybody else, that horse jostled, bumped, cut off. He did a no-no and got disqualified because he got in their way. If you watch the Olympics, there are times and times again that somebody in a race will be bumped and the other guy gets qualified. Now, if you're in NASCAR, you get extra points and sell more commercials if you bump somebody and knock them out of the race. But not this kind of stuff. Who cut in on you to keep you from obeying the truth? What is your excuse, Paul said. And the reason he's writing to them, the church is growing. All of a sudden, the church started getting a lot of trouble. Who cut in front of you? Now, Paul obviously never drove on US 41. Because the question is, who didn't cut in front of me? Based on what goes on there. But in life, he says, you're running. Let's put it all together. You were, past tense, you were running a good race. Who cut in on you to keep you from obeying the truth? What is your excuse? Who stopped you? My boss wasn't friendly. The cat died. They didn't have a cell on what I needed. You could think of a thousand reasons to blame somebody. Paul says, none of them are good excuses. Because nobody can stop you from serving God except the person in the mirror. That's the only one. And that's the only one we can blame. Yes, it may be rough. My goodness. If you've not had a hard day of life in this world, come up here and you start preaching, I'll sit down because I have. If you've not had a difficult time, an unexplainable time sometimes, then you're either blessed or fooling yourself, and I think it's number two. But people cutting in front of us, people stopping us, people from taking the job we wanted, people from getting the friends we wanted, whatever it is, should not stop us. You know why? Because that all comes from the devil. He's trying to prevent us from winning. That's what he does. He's gotten very good at it. The only problem is, as the verse says, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. The devil is in the world. Therefore, Christ in us, the Holy Spirit in us, as promised in Acts 2:38, is stronger than the devil, and he cannot destroy our soul. Right. Our bodies may be hurt. I will guarantee you in here right now, there's at least 20 people with some kind of infirmity, hurts. I need a new knee and 2 new hips. Okay, a lot of other people are hurting too. Does that let it stop us? No. If pain would stop us from serving God, there's a fellow that should have quit earlier. They beat him. They poked him. They put a crown of thorns on his head and blood ran down his face. They put nails through his hands and through his feet. They tied him up on a big old wooden cross. Then after several hours of pain and agony, they stuck a spearhead in his side. Do you think he said, "Oh, time out"? He did say, my father, why have you forsaken me?" So he knew he was in pain and agony, and God could have stopped it. But he didn't get down off that cross. And because he did not get down off that cross, we don't have to be on that cross for our sins. And you know what? That's good, because we didn't qualify as a perfect sacrifice either, as Christ did. And you're running a good race. Who cut you off to keep you from obeying truth? That kind of persecution does not come from the one who calls you. God didn't. "Oh God, what have you done to me?" You ever thought that? "Why did God let this happen to me?" And usually it's our own fault. A little yeast. If you're doing King James, it will say leaven. Same thing as least, yeast. It also works out the word sin is the same word in King James here. A little yeast would do a whole batch of dough. I've always wondered, but my wife would not let me in the kitchen, except when she's going to town or she's going to Kentucky for a day or two. I wonder if you took a batch of dough. Ladies, won't y'all, one of y'all try this and get your camera, take a picture for me. And if it says one package of that yellow package yeast, put in about four. I'm serious. Take a time lapse, and if it doesn't explode and cover the whole kitchen. You remember Lucy Ricardo when Lucy and Ethel did that and the bread came out about 20 foot long? I just wonder if that would really happen. Whatever it is, a little yeast would do a whole batch of dough. I'm confident that in the Lord that you will take no other view. That sin will get into you if you allow it to happen. The one who is throwing you into confusion, whoever that may be, will have to pay the penalty. Whoever the problem was within that congregation, or the problems in that congregation, God will get his revenge. There will be retribution. We can't do it for him. We just can't let them affect us and drag us down. One who's throwing you into confusion, whoever that will be, will have to pay the penalty. Brothers and sisters, if I am still preaching circumcision, why am I being persecuted? Well, because he wasn't. In the case of the offense of the cross, has been abolished. The cross was used by the Romans to embarrass as well as to punish the ones that were being crucified, and also to teach a lesson so nobody else wanted to go through that. If you were the oldest child, which Dwight was, still is, Dad would whip me. If any of the four did something wrong, no, I'm serious. He just whipped on me. "Did y'all learn your lesson?" "Yeah, Dad, we're right." "Hit him again once or twice, we'll learn it even better." I mean, that kind of stuff. Well, that's not fair, but that's how it works in those days. And those people will pay for what they did. I wish they would go to the whole way and emasculate themselves. A little side humor there. You, my brothers and sisters, are called to be free. Once again, we are free. Boy, I see. Yeah, I'm looking around. Most of us were alive and cognizant in the 60s. And there were a lot of freedom songs. A lot of freedom songs. "All the world wants to be free," and on and on and on. Freedom's something we've cried for and complained for and wanted for. But have we ever worked for? Well, if you put on that uniform, if you've worn those boots, and that outfit and the camouflage and all. Oh, by the way, did you hear the camouflage is getting ready to go out? Now they're bringing back American, the good old G.I. Joe uniforms. Won't that be snappy? Make me want to join all over again. What was I saying? Brothers and sisters, you were called to be free. We want freedom. But being called to be free doesn't mean you remain that way. 8 or 10 years ago, the country of Venezuela was a beautiful, lovely, prosperous, wealthy country. All the oil they could ship out, let alone need. And then they voted in a group of socialists who became communists. They voted their freedom away. They threw it away. We can't do that. Our freedom in God, our freedom as a country, we must keep and strive for, because far too many people have suffered, been wounded, died, done without, that freedom can be established. Now, we'll talk about that on July the 4th. We should realize the freedom we have every day and honor our vets and those who served us, as well as the freedom God gave us also. You're called to be free, but do not use your freedom to indulge the flesh. Well, I'm free. I can do anything I want to do. If God's going to forgive me, if Christ loves to forgive me, let me just keep on sinning all the more, Paul would say, heaven forbid. Now, your grandmother loved you. And no matter what you did wrong, your grandmother would tweak your cheek. Oh, you sweet little thing, I know you didn't mean it. Here's a dollar, go get an ice cream. That's not what he's talking about, to overdo it. Respect what we have. Serve one another humbly in love. For the entire law is fulfilled in keeping this one command. Love your neighbor as yourself. We talked about that a minute ago. Not a bad procedure. You don't want to hurt yourself, why would you want to hurt your neighbor, your family, your friends? That's the freedom Paul says Christ has given to us. Love your neighbor. If you bite and devour each other, watch out or you will be destroyed by each other. You cut somebody down, you chew them out, you lie about them, whatever you do, nothing good will come out of that, Paul says. Go on. So I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the flesh desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit is what is contrary to the flesh. They are in conflict with each other, so that you are not to do whatever you want. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. We don't claim as much freedom in our daily lives as we deserve. Now, if you go to pick something up that you saw fall out of somebody's pocket in front of you and put it in your pocket right away, that's not the kind of use of freedom it's supposed to be. Because we're not helping and loving our neighbor at that time. If somebody's a, quote, sworn enemy of yours, if you have a chance to put them down and hurt them, and you take advantage of that chance, that's not the freedom that he's talking about. That's the kind of person you need to pick up and help, and maybe one day they'll understand God's love through you. That's what Paul's saying. And we're led by the Spirit. Maybe it's in my mind the wrong way, but I tend to think a well-trained conscience is being used by the Spirit to tell us things. If you believe something's wrong, then it probably really is. If you don't believe you should do something to help somebody, it means you probably should. Because if you've got God's Spirit living within you, He will communicate and help you. Not in a contrary way, not to do something evil or wrong, but to do something beneficial, whatever it is. There's a song that nobody here remembers but me, I think. I tried it the other day. It was a camp song. God is my Father. Jesus is my brother. You know it, Pam? I want you to work it out for me, because I need nobody else knows it but you and me. My wife doesn't even know it. We went to the same church camp. The blessed Holy Spirit is my guide. I believe that is a strong statement. That Acts 2:38 says we receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. I think the Spirit is in us. And the blessed Holy Spirit will tell us, and our conscience will warn us. That is God using the little words inside of us to do the right thing. Make that your motto this week. I think that's a good one to quit on. God is your Father, Jesus is your brother, and the blessed Holy Spirit is your guide. And if we do that, wouldn't we make this a better world for ourselves and those around us? I strongly do that. Our hymn invitation decision day, I have no idea.
490.
Stand with me as we sing that. And get on up here, girl. Lead us that way. Stand, please.
I must needs go home by the way of the cross. There's no other way but this. I shall ne'er get sight of the gates of light if the way of the cross I miss. The way of the cross leads home. The way of the cross leads home. It is sweet to know as I onward go. The way of the cross leads home.